But I'm actually going to, it may not go the way I intended it to go, and here's why. He asked me to explain why we were singing that song. I have vivid memories of Sunday evening, Mary Murchison requesting that song almost weekly. I mean, as often as she could. I'm not sure I've sung it anywhere else. And so every now and then it'll pass by. I'm digging through a hymn book, looking for a song, looking for a hymn or whatever. And it'll go by. And I'm instantly right back in this room. And so I was like, if there's any way we could sing this. So the story goes, I learned this last night. Matt decided to go to Kim and say, I got no idea what this song, I mean, I don't know who this guy is coming to preach this Bible conference, but he's requesting this song nobody knows. And your reaction was, wait, we used to do that all the time. So I was glad somebody else sort of remembered with me. Do what? Thank you, Kim. Appreciate that. I knew I could count on. I knew there would be somebody I could count on around here. That was a shot at you.
I know.
But I want you to do something. You probably have already closed your hymn books. I say all that to say I didn't pick this hymn because it was connected in any way, shape, or form with the theme of the conference. I picked it because it's connected with this room and these people. But then we're singing it. The very last phrase of the last verse. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. Why do you take toil and trouble from a father's hand? Why does the hymn writer say, when I'm dealing with toil and trouble, let me take those things as from a father's hand? Why does a father's hand make toil and trouble better? I mean, what is it about taking it from a father's hand that makes difficulty acceptable or palatable or right? I mean, somehow or another, in the hymn writer's mind, the fact that toil and trouble meet in my life, if I take it, if it comes from a father, then it's okay. Well, that actually is the theme of this Sunday school hour and this passage in Romans chapter 8. Because on May 3rd, 1971, you would not remember those days. May 3rd of 1971, I was born to a woman that, as far as I know, I've never ever met. As far as I know, I've never seen her. I assume that was the only and last time she ever held me, if she held me at all. And as much about my parents were in San Francisco when I was born. They got the call, hey, your child's being born. They had to cut their trip short. I was born in Roper Hospital in Charleston, South Carolina. And the guy that delivered me, this is later addition, the OBGYN that delivered me later became the head of MUSC. And as far as I know, he still is. I don't know if he is. Dr. Underwood. Is that right? Is that name at all familiar? That may not be right. You know as much about my birth parents, as I do. Now we're all on the same, right? We're all on the same page. There's nothing, there's no other secrets. There's nothing else that I can go, I kept this from you or whatever. You know as much as I do about my birth. I want to read verses 12 to 17. So for those of you that weren't there last night, yes, this is how old I am now. It's really, you know, literally everybody I know is like, yep, you just literally wake up one morning and all of a sudden you need cheaters. And like literally one day you're fine, the next day you're not. And that's exactly my experience. And the number of people that go, oh yeah, that happens to everybody, that's, you know, whatever. But still, you know, I mean, it was 20 years ago when I left, I was not this age. And now I'm this age. So anyway, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Just two things I want to observe, I guess, about this passage. The first is that adoption is about relationships. This weekend, and I'll do more of this in a minute, this weekend, in these four sermons, talks, messages, lectures, whatever we're calling these things, we're unpacking sort of the DTR talk. We're defining the relationship. And we're defining the relationship not between a guy and a girl. That's typically how we use the DTR talk. But between God and his people. Last night we saw that our salvation is all of grace. That our justification, that quite honestly, if I were going to pick one word to summarize our salvation, it would be the word but. We are sinners, but there's grace. That word but connects two thoughts that don't belong connected, that don't make sense together. This morning, in this hour, I want to look at our adoption, our new family. And adoption is about relationships. If it weren't for my adoption, May 3rd, 1971, I expect birthday presents now, I wouldn't have the family that I have. I mean, my mom and dad wouldn't be my mom and dad. My brother wouldn't be my brother. My aunts and uncles and cousins and, you know, everybody else. It would be a completely different family. But notice, we receive this family not through anything we do. You know what I did? I was born, but I guess technically I didn't even do that. I mean, I did absolutely nothing to gain this new family, these new relationships that I have. It's not like, well, we'll take him as our child if he learns to walk by this age. He's potty trained by, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He learns his alphabet before he's, you know, 2 months old. I mean, right? I mean, it's not like you set these rules up, these standards up, and say, well, we'll adopt him if he does all of these things. And that's the picture here. That we have this new family in Christ, not because of anything we've done, not because of our goodness, not because of our merit, not because we've obeyed, not because we've gained his favor, not because we've made him love us, because we were so good, so worthy, so valuable to him. And it's interesting, just to make a side comment, I don't think the cap was on right. Just to make a side comment, you know, in Exodus 20, when the Ten Commandments are given, they're not given to people still in Egypt, waiting for delivery. In fact, Exodus 20 begins with, I've brought you out of slavery. I've brought you out of Egypt. I've already delivered you. Now, here are the Ten Commandments. Here's how you can live to honor and glorify me. But that's the same. The same is true for us. There are no rules in this passage, and yet there are new relationships. Verses 12 to 15, Paul writes, brothers, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We don't live by the flesh, but we live by the Spirit, and in so doing, we put to death the deeds of the body. More about that in the next hour. Verse 15, you didn't receive the Spirit of... Well, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. You didn't receive the Spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption as sons. And you actually have the right to call the God of the universe, you know, the one who literally... I mean, if only my dog, my kids... If I could just say, stop. And they stopped. If I could tell my dog, you know, you really don't have to bark at the neighbor across the street who's, for the last 5 years, has been checking his mail at exactly the same time, in exactly the same way, and yet you bark. Stop. And he stopped. God says, let there be light. And there's light. Let there be, and there is. You have the right, despite your rebellion, despite our failures, despite our anger, despite our shaking our fists at God, we have the right to call Him Father, Dad. Because of our adoption, we've got this brand new relationship. And it's not because of anything that we've done. And Paul describes in verse 13 old relationships. Relationships that, quite honestly, you're supposed to sever. Relationships you're supposed to have nothing more to do with. They're relationships that are supposed to be forgotten. You're supposed to put the old self to death. But we haven't just been adopted from something. We've also been adopted to something. This is always true in Scripture. God saves people not just from, but to. He doesn't just deliver Israel out of Egypt and say, now, good luck with all that. I hope you make it the rest of the way. There's the road, right? Just follow the yellow brick road. And if you'll just skip down the yellow brick road, you'll get there. It's down there somewhere. He doesn't just deliver them from, He delivers them to. We have old relationships that we're supposed to have forgotten. We have new relationships that we're supposed to forge. Verses 14 to 17, these relationships with God. We're sons of God. We have received the Spirit of adoption. We have the right to call Him Father. And we have His Spirit dwelling in us. And we're children of Him. And everyone who's has the Spirit living in them. Everyone who the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. It's part of the point of John 1, right? I mean, that's come Christmas time. I trust you'll have a Christmas Eve service. And I trust that as maybe 99% of all Christmas Eve services, there's always a weird one out there somewhere. Read through John 1. Now he's going to have to at this point, right? Now he's like, okay, well, I guess I got to do that now because Jeff just called me out. I was going to do something different, but you read through John 1 and Christ came so that those who did receive Jesus would have the right to be called children of God. I hope that sinks in. I mean, I hope when we really grasp the complete otherness of God, His holiness, His transcendence, and then you go, I actually have the right, humor me for a second, to walk into His office, interrupt whatever He's doing, and say, hey Dad, can we talk? That's what our adoption in Christ
grants us. That's no small thing. We have these new relationships, but notice it's not just a new relationship with God as our Father. Did you notice verse 17? So my mom, because of medical reasons, was never able to have children. My brother and I both were adopted. I'm older than he is by a year and a half, and I'm still about a half inch taller than he is, and I will let him know both of those things as frequently as I possibly can. I wouldn't have that brother. Robert wouldn't be my brother. Not only do I have new parents, but I have new siblings. That's exactly what he says in verse 17. All of a sudden, not only are we able to call God Father, but we have an older brother, Christ. Did you notice the way he described it, though? Verse 17. If we're children, then we're heirs. Okay. The spirit of slavery a few minutes ago, household servants didn't inherit from their masters. Household servants had no expectation to get anything from their masters, from the landowner. But sons, as children, we expect, now it may not be big, there may not be a whole lot of inheritance, but we now have a right to it. As children, we're heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. You have an older brother. Jesus Christ is now, as believers, he is now your older brother. A completely new relationship, not by our own merits, not by our own works or efforts. Comforting and encouraging. That's why we take toil and trouble meeting in our lives as though from a Father's hand. Because we know that fathers love us. We know that even dads, you don't want to, that you will allow your learning to walk child to fall over. That's actually, that kind of, it makes you flinch a little, right? You're like, I should be protected. You're running. I should stop him from hitting the ground. You'll let your teenage kids make mistakes. You'll let them walk into things. You'll let them drop the ball on a test. You'll let them go through because you love them. And there's, it's for their good. It's for their growth. It's there for their maturity. Of course, this also means, and this is why Nancy and I remember our days here so fondly and like they were yesterday. With a new father, with a new older brother, we now are all siblings, right? If you and I have the same dad and you and I have the same older brother, guess what? We are now related. That's why the church as a family is such a perfect picture. Why the family is such a perfect picture for what the church is. Adoption is all about relationships. But it's also all about rights. Notice verse 15. Slaves, you don't have the spirit of slavery to fall back in. So, the way a slave would fear its master, his master, is a different kind of fear from the fear a child has for their parents. Right? In the one, the slave is constantly afraid, if I do something wrong, if I'm out of line even just a little bit, I'm in big trouble. The son has this sense, I can mess up, But that won't end the relationship. It's not like I'm going to get fired. It's not like I'm going to get sold. It's not like I'm going to get, you know, they're going to get rid of me. The fear of a child to a father is a different kind of fear. It's an awe and reverence and respect. That's the kind of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't have the spirit of slavery to fall back into that kind of servile fear. But instead, we have the spirit of adoption. And that spirit of adoption grants you the right to call the God of the universe Father. That as adopted sons, not only as adopted children, not only do we have new relationships, but we have new rights. We have the right to call God Father. We have the right to an inheritance with Christ. We have the right to word Abba, you've heard this before, I trust. It's there are two words in that, Abba Father. It's an Aramaic term, sort of similar to Hebrew, and a Greek term sort of put together. It's you almost kind of get the sense that the Abba term needed translation for the audience, the Greek-speaking, predominantly Greek-speaking audience. And it's a term of endearment. It's dad. It's daddy. It's a more intimate term. Quite honestly, it's a term that when I hear people pray and call God daddy, I have to admit I sort of cringe a little bit. Shame on me, I think, at some level. Because we've granted the right to have that kind of intimate relationship with God. We have the right to call Him Father. We have this right to an inheritance. So, I don't, I told you, you know as much as I know about my birth mom, birth parents. I know nothing. I don't know who the father would be. And in fact, I don't know anything about the mom, except I know she had to be in the room because I was born. I mean, that's how that works, right? I have to assume. Let's go with the odds for a second. Early 70s in Charleston. Let's just go with the odds. You have to assume that at that stage of the game, she was probably a young single mom, either unable, hadn't intended to be pregnant, was unable to take care of a child, wasn't planning on having a child. I mean, you have to assume those would be the odds given the time and place I was born. She didn't have the means to take care of a family. Again, I don't know. I'm just assuming. That's just sort of an assumption on my part. My future looks drastically different because of the family I'm in. There's an inheritance out there that I have to assume didn't exist when I was born, that now exists. That my future is changed because there's this inheritance that increased tremendously because of my adoption. I ended up in a great home with great loving parents who could and would provide for us, and in ways that, quite honestly, I mean, probably too much. I mean, it was that kind of, okay, I'm probably a little spoiled because of it. Don't answer that question. But I have this right to an inheritance that otherwise wouldn't have existed. Think about it for a second. Because you're co-heirs with Christ, you stand to inherit eternal life. Because of our adoption, we inherit the new heavens and the new earth. Because of our adoption, we will inherit the glory that Christ has earned for us and shares with us in eternity. Because of our adoption, we receive a new name. We receive this crown of gold out there. Because of our adoption, we will reign with Christ according to the book of Revelation. Do you struggle with fear? I mean, do you find yourself sort of wrestling with a sense of, I've got to do more. I've got to work my way. I've got to gain God's favor. Do you find yourself wrestling with this sort of sense of being a slave to the law? Or are you aware that you, through faith in Christ, by God's grace, that you really are the child of a king? We take toil and trouble because it comes from a loving, caring Father. You know what hope we have? Dads, when you cross the street holding your child's hand, it's universal parent. As the road, you hit the sidewalk, and just before you hit the curb to step out in the street, you say, hold mama's hand, hold daddy's hand. Why does that child get across the street safely? It's not because they hold on to you tightly. It's because you hold on to them. Believer, that's our hope. That's our joy. That's our expectation. We will make it to the end, so to speak. We'll get across the street, if you will, safely. Why? Not because you have grabbed onto Jesus and are holding him white-knuckled, will not let go with all your strength, but because he's holding onto you. Because God holds onto you as a loving father, which means that when you trip in the road, even though he's holding your hand, and you trip and you fall and you skin your knee, you're still there. He didn't drop you. Yeah, there's toil. Yeah, there's trouble. Yeah, there's difficulty. But we endure because of his love for us. If you wrestle with assurance of your salvation, you run there. You run to, yes, toil and trouble. Yes, I struggle. Yes, I doubt. Yes, I fear. But I know he holds me. Even when I feel like I'm not holding him. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. You never ever sing of God, prone to wander. Humans, believers, I feel it. Prone to leave these confound kids I've adopted. Be comforted by that. Let's pray.